Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
If you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the fourth chapter. We've been in a series in Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4 called The Law of Faith. And let me rewind your thinking because this is part number 6. And we have covered a lot of ground so far in this series. And don't worry if it's your first time with us. Today's message will stand on its own. You're going to get something from God today. But I would encourage you, go online and get a hold of part 1 through 5. It will bless you and you will be able to build on the principles that you're learning today. Now, we learned something about this, that there is the law of faith and the law of works. And the law of works operates under that if I can do this, then I'll live by it. But how many of you know that we cannot do it? We can't be perfect. No one can save themselves. It's only through the law of faith that we can be justified. When we believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, now we become justified. What does that mean? It's just as if I'd never sinned. God declares us righteous. You are right with me. But he also declares something else over our life. At the same time, he declares us not guilty. And we understand that faith is always right. So we need to get a word from God, get out of our perspective, and get our eyes on God. Faith accounts for our sin, it accounts for our weakness, but also faith accounts for the impossible. Faith receives what it couldn't work for, it receives before it even acts, and then it acts on the promises of God until it receives. We talked about this last time together, that we have to call out the things that we don't yet see and get our hopes up. You remember that? Get your hopes up, church. Why? Because what you believe from God's promise will eventually become your present reality. With those thoughts in mind, let's read on in Romans chapter number 4, verse number 19, down through verse number 22. Continue on talking about Abraham. It says this in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 19. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Remember, Abraham had a promise from God of a baby that would come, that God would give him this child. And it says that he wasn't weak in faith. That means that Abraham was strong in faith, but he didn't consider his own body. He was almost 100 years old. He didn't look at his body and say, well, that's not going to work. But he also didn't look at his wife, Sarah, who was 89 years old at the time, and say, hey, she's gone through menopause. That ship has sailed. Verse number 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, look at this, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being, oh man, I can't wait to preach this to you guys today. And being not weak in faith, he didn't waver at the promise of God. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Verse 22, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Once again, we see that faith is always right. See, there was a persistence that Abraham had on the inside of him. Remember, from the time that God called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans to the time that he received the promised son was 25 years. And he went through a lot during that time. There was trials. There was challenges. There was a war that he went to get his nephew Lot back. He had to go to battle. He had to travel. He had to be patient. He had to wait on the promise of God. God rehearsed the covenant and continued to bring Abraham through this process over 25 years, and Abraham was persistent and he held on to hope. He went through it until eventually at 100 years old, he held his child, his promise in his arms, his Isaac. My goodness, in your life, what's it going to take like Father Abraham to hold on? Because when we believe the promise of God, remember we talked about this from Mark chapter 11, that what we believe, we receive when we ask. See, there's going to be a moment that you get a promise of God and you say, God, I believe it, I receive it. And you say a word at the end of that prayer. What do you say? You say, amen. Amen means so be it. It's done. But how many of you know there's a process of time that we go through until we get to that other word that we're waiting for, which is hallelujah. What does that mean? That means praise the Lord. Because I believed I received it over there. I said amen. And there's going to come a moment that I have the promise of God in my life, a hallelujah. But what do you do between the amen and the hallelujah? There is a persistence of faith that each and every one of us has to have in order to get to that hallelujah. And today, I want to talk to you about this from the life of Abraham. What do we see in this man? What was the persistence that he had in order to receive his promise after 25 years? What's it going to take for you and for me to endure? Well, the first thing is this, is that we don't focus on what we see. We focus on what God said. See, Abraham didn't consider his own body. He didn't look at what he could see. 100-year-old man. He didn't look at his wife, a 90-year-old woman. No, no, no. He didn't focus on those things. No, he focused on the promise that God had. He continued to strive. He continued to go forward. See, oftentimes we see the challenges that we face. We see the difficulties, or even we see the impossibility. And we immediately look for a natural way to overcome it. Well, maybe God meant this. Well, hold on, okay, because if this happens, and we'll move this over here, then that will happen, then this door will open, then we'll walk through that door, then these people will be over there. And God, hey, are you listening to all this? God, are you writing this down? And instead of declaring the promise of God, we start to declare our plan to God. God doesn't want us to declare our plan. Listen, God does not need your help planning. He already knows what he's going to do. Listen, if God prepared the plan of redemption, if Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain since the foundation of the world, and if God declared that you would be here for such a time as this, do you think that God already has in his heart and knows what he's going to do in your life? God doesn't need your help. Hey, God, come over here and let's plan this thing. God says, I already got a plan. I don't need your plan. You need my plan. You need to just believe. You need to stop looking at your natural circumstances. Well, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know where it's going to come from. God says, quit looking around. Look up. Look at me. I promised. Start to look at the promise of God. What has God declared over your life? Get a hold of that. We need to have a direct prayer rather than giving God direction in prayer. God, I believe your promise. God, I believe what you said. God, I believe what you spoke. And we rehearse that promise of God over our lives. See, Abraham didn't live by what he saw. He couldn't do, but what he saw that God said he would do. Because in the natural, a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman do not have babies. And yet they had a baby. Why? Because he wasn't looking at his inability. He was looking at God who promised. And that made all the difference. Made the difference in his wife's life too. You know, we talk about Abraham. He's the father of faith. Sarah, she's the mother of faith. You say, where do you see that in the Bible? Well, hey, let's just think about this for a second, right? If there is a man and he's a father, he doesn't become a father without a mother. It takes two to tango. Hello? Unless there's an immaculate conception, that's the only one that we know about was Mary. But everybody else is a mama and a papa. That's just the way God designed it. And Sarah is the mother of faith. Let's take a look at it in Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, some of your translations might attribute this to Abraham, but they're one, right? And I believe really it's talking about Sarah. Hebrews chapter 11, easy to remember what verse it is because it's Hebrews 11, 11, all right? Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 11. It says by faith. Everybody say by faith. Sarah herself also received strength. Everybody say strength. Remember, this is the year of strength. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to do what? To conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age. How did she do that? She did it by faith. Well, what was it about her faith? What was this character of Sarah? What did she do? If she wasn't looking at her ability, then what was she looking at? Look at this. It goes on in the rest of the verse. It says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. What did that look like in Sarah's life? Remember, Sarah had 25 years of experience with God. She could lean back on what had already happened in her journey with Abraham and with God. Why? Because God called us out of the land that we were comfortable in. And God took care of us all the way through. God took care of my nephew, Lot, when he was in danger. Abraham went out there, and I didn't know if Abraham was coming back, but Abraham came back with great spoil, and he won the war, and now God has taken care of us all the way. God took care of us all through that whole Ishmael thing. I know that I started it, and I know that I finished it, and I was losing my mind, but God kept me in the midst of that. I know that when Abraham wasn't doing what he should, and when he said, call me your sister, and that's a half-truth, but that's weird, Abraham. I'm your wife, but I'm going to submit. I'll do what you say, and it got me into the king's harem that I was never touched and never violated, and God took us all the way through that. And if God took care of us for these past 25 years, and God says, I'm going to have a child, then if God said it, I can believe it. Why? Because God's a man of his word. He will not go back on his word. He watches over his word to perform it. There's a group of us, we're all hanging out, group of friends, and the men were in their little circle over here, and the women were in their little circle over there. You know, the men are all talking, we're talking, somebody's talking about, you like sushi? Oh, yeah, I like sushi. You like it when they have this on? Oh, yeah, I like that. I like this stuff raw, and I like this stuff cooked, and I like the tempura, and I like this. And somebody said, you ever had caviar? And all the guys around the room just were like, caviar? Nah, that's bougie. Never had caviar. I remembered that there was a local market that I'd seen. They were selling caviar. About $36, you could buy some caviar. Now, I don't know if $36 caviar is good or not. I just remembered that they had it. And so I said, hey, let's go. And they're like, what? Let's go get some caviar. Now? Yeah, now. You serious? I said, yeah, I'm serious. Let's go. Get your keys. I said, all right, let's go, right? Bunch of stupid men going out and get some caviar, $36 at the supermarket. Start grabbing our keys. And the girls are like, hey, where are you going? We're like, we're going to get some caviar. What? Caviar? Yeah, right now. We're going to go. So we go to the store. $36 later, we got some caviar. We're headed back. Get back into the room. Girls are all there. You got caviar? Yeah, we got it. Open it up. It smells nasty. Who's going to try it? Well, I was the one that said it, right? So I'm the first one. Give me a cracker. Let's go. That's how you eat it, right? You put a cracker or something. I don't know. So I ate it. It tasted like it smelled. It was nasty, all right? Pastor, I love caviar. Okay, you like licking the ocean floor too, I guess? I don't know. So everybody ate it, right? And everybody, you can tell they're putting on a front. They're like. You should try it. Keeping a straight face. One of the young guys comes over. I like it. We said, you can have it. Because I'll try anything once, but if I know I don't like it after that, we're done, right? Go ahead, son, have it. He didn't eat it. Ended up throwing it away because it's nasty. Fast forward, we're together, that same friend group later on. Someone starts talking about French cuisine and says, you ever had escargot? One of the guys steps in and says, hey, you better stop right now. Because Pastor Dan's here. You remember what happened when we started talking about caviar? He made us go and he made us eat it. I don't want to eat escargot, so you just better be quiet, because if you talk like that around him, we're going to all end up eating snails. So you got to watch what you say around God. Because if you start talking about, Lord, I believe your promise that by your stripes I was healed, God will say, get the keys, let's get you healed. Come on, let's go. I'm taking you on a ride right now. You start to talk about, God, I believe that my children are disciples, taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace and their undisturbed composure. God's going to say, get your kids and get the car seats, because we're taking you and your family on a ride. When you start to declare, God, I believe what I see in your word, that I can have a marriage God's way, God says, hey, get your keys and get your spouse and let's go, because I'm going to take you on a ride somewhere. When you start to declare, God, I see your promise of prosperity. God, I see your promise of peace. God, I see your promise of blessing. God, I see that I can have power and love and a sound mind, God, that I can be a witness. God says, get the keys, because I'm taking you somewhere. He's a man of his word. God's going to take you for a ride. So be careful what you're believing God for, because God will bring his word to pass. But you can't waver in fear. No, you got to wrap up in faith. See, in our lives, what's it going to take? Well, don't waver in fear, because that'll take you out. But rather, wrap up in faith. See, the waver means that you're going between two different opinions. Literally, it can mean that you're double-minded, that you've got this mind over here, but then you've got another opinion over here, and you're kind of waffling between the two. Any parents in the place today? Parents, okay? Parents of toddlers. How many parents of toddlers, okay? Fun stage. I love that stage. You say, it's hard, Pastor. Wait till they're young adults. I'm in that season. Toddlers is fun. And you ever play that game? I wonder which spouse, which one of us is the favorite. And so you stage a competition. All right, honey, you're going to stand over there. I'm going to stand over here, equal distance. We're going to put our child in the middle. And we're going to call them and see who the favorite is. You know you played that game. Come on, don't lie. So what do you do? All right, it's almost like a duel, right? You stand up and you go 10 paces, and you come back and you're like, honey, come to me. Come to daddy. Oh, you love daddy. Daddy's the fun one. Come on. You know you love me more than you love your mommy. Come on over here, child. Come to daddy. Daddy's got candy. Daddy will take care of you. Come on, daddy. He'll tickle. Come on, daddy. Come to daddy. Come to daddy. And what's the toddler do? They go, oh, daddy's calling. And so they start to, you know, toddle off, and they start walking towards daddy. But then something else happens on the other side. What happens is mommy goes, oh, no, he didn't. He didn't just say he's the favorite. He's not the favorite. I'm the one that carried that child for 9 months. I'm the one that birthed him out of this body, and it destroyed and ruined everything that I worked for all those years. I'm the one that nursed that child at my side and had all the pain on all the late nights when he was in there snoring. No, no, honey, sweet darling, my child, come to me. Mommy loves you. Listen, daddy wants you for what he can get. I want to give. I'm the loving one. Come over here to me. And what happens? That toddler who is headed over to daddy all of a sudden starts to, oh, mommy's calling. Wait, wait, oh, mommy. Mommy's over here. And they start to toddle over. We tried this with our dog. Dog just sat down and looked at us like, I don't know what you two are up to right now, but I'm not playing your games. How about when the baby's doing it? You ever seen that? Somebody's holding the baby, and then you walk around somebody that the baby knows, and all of a sudden they're like leaning over, you know, just like, and you're trying not to drop them, right? They just start leaning, woo, and you're like, whoa, okay, I guess they want to go to you, right? Then they go to them, and they look over, and they realize, I'm not being held who I was held by anymore. Who are you? And then they, like, lean over again. They want to be held by that other person. See, that's wavering. Wavering between two opinions. Who do you want to be held by? You want to be held by your fears? Or do you want to be held by your faith? You see, God is the one who holds you together. When you believe his promise, wrap up in the arms of God. Wrap up in faith. Believe God. Don't waver between two opinions. My goodness, sink yourself fully into faith in who God is and in what God said. Love what it says in James chapter number 1. I'm going to read verse number 6 through 8 in the Message. This is a paraphrase, all right? It's not a translation, but I love the way that it says this. It says this in James 1, 6 through 8 in the Message. It says, ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. New King James says, in faith, without wavering. And then it says this. I love this. People who worry their prayers. Now, stop. Can I just be transparent, open, and honest with you guys? There have been times that your pastor, this man of faith, has worried his prayers. Oh, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know why it's not working out. God, I can't take it anymore. God, would you please just do something, God? And I hear God talking like he's talking to Job. Would you stand up and act like a man? Okay, God, I'll stand up. See, God doesn't want us to waver. God wants us to wrap up in faith. It says people who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. See, there's a lot of people that aren't standing on the promises. They're just sitting on the premises. People sitting in church, I believe God. People sitting in church, I'm a Christian. People sitting in church, I see what God wants for my life, and yet they never stand on a promise of God. They waver in their opinion. Well, maybe God will, maybe God won't. I guess if God wants to do something, he can, but I don't know if really God wants to do it in my life. I can see the promise of God, but you know, that didn't happen to my neighbor. It didn't happen to my mama. I don't know why God would say that if he's not going to do it. And they're wavering between two opinions. They're not standing on the promises, wrapping up in faith. No, they're sitting on the premises. God says, I need you to wrap up. I need you to get sunk into faith. See, it's not the promise that fails or God that fails. It's our faith that fails. We end up in the wrong places in our thinking. We end up wavering between two opinions. And eventually, we end up on our rear in fear rather than on our feet in faith, facing the future on the foundation of God's word. That's why it's so important that even if we have strong faith, that we strengthen it, that we build it up over time. You know, Abraham gives us a picture, a clear picture, doesn't he? Of what it looks like to be strengthened in faith. Because we look at that and we say, well, wait a second. He didn't waver in faith, but he laughed. Sarah laughed. He got in the flesh and tried to make the promise happen with Ishmael himself. How is that not unbelief? See, it wasn't unbelief. It was a struggle. He struggled. He wrestled through it. He was always focused on the promise, even with Ishmael. He was always focused on God. And the Bible gives us a faith edit. Did you notice that? I thank God for the New Testament, because even though we may have sin, even though we have mistakes, even though we may struggle through things, the Bible shows us what God, the great editor, shows in his word. Hey, listen, that's a part of the story. The struggle is a part of the story. But that's not wavering in unbelief. The editor defines it for us. He says, no, no, no. He was strengthened in faith. Why? Because there was an action that Abraham and Sarah had to go through. I told you there was two to tangle, right? It takes a male and a female, a man and a woman that come together in marriage to create the promise of a baby, right? Right? Hello? Can we talk? I know we're in church, but this is what God intended. This is what God made. And you can't have it unless you put the action in. That means that Abraham had to get a hold of his wife, 100 years old, 90 years old. They had to go and do what married couples do in order to produce a baby. And they had to do it in faith. Why? Because that age doesn't produce children. It's after menopause. That ship has long since gone. And yet, they acted in faith and they received the promise. See, church, you got to wrap up in faith and bring the accompanying actions. I asked Pastor Antonio if I could share this story. He shared it on a Sunday night recently. Him and his wife, Angelina, great couple, wonderful people. They had a baby named Andrew. Andrew, we call him Drew or Drewby, great young man of God. And just a good kid. He's my son's friend. He was just over at the house for my son's 15th birthday, just hanging out, having a good time. After Andrew, they tried to have another baby and got pregnant. So excited. But then something happened. They had a miscarriage. And some of you guys know the pain of having a miscarriage. Some of you guys know that hope that's just deferred and your heart grows sick. And every time you see somebody with their baby in their hands, all of a sudden you're reminded of what you don't have. You're remembered of the process and what you went through. And they actually tried and tried again and tried again and over years didn't have a baby. 8 years went by, roughly. And Pastor Antonio finally said, you know what, if I'm going to believe God, I believe that God has a promise for us to have more children. I believe that God wants us to produce a godly seed on the earth. God wants us to raise children. This is a promise of God. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of their children, right? And so he's got these promises of God. But then he had something in his heart. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to put some work in here. And so by faith, he went to his room. They had this little side room, and it had just a bunch of stuff in it. And so he cleaned all that stuff out, cleared it out, made it a baby room, painted, decorated, got the crib all set up, put everything there, and just decorated for what he was waiting. Do you know that this morning, that their miracle child that came after 8 years was standing right about here singing the praises of God for you all. Why? Because he wrapped up in faith. He put the work in. My wife and I, remember there was a time we had this house, first house. We so loved it. We were grateful for it. But we had something in our heart that we knew that we wanted to expand. We knew that we were going to have a big family, and so we knew that we needed to get into a bigger house, and so we were believing God. God started to stir something in our hearts after a couple years in that house, and we thought, you know, we're going to start looking, you know, just go out there and take a look at a house. We found this great neighborhood that we liked, found this beautiful home that we liked. Now, this was 2006. Some of you guys remember where the market was at in 2006. This was the height of the bubble, right? And mortgages and all that kind of stuff was going crazy, and so everything was out of our price range. We didn't have any down payment because we had the house that we were in, but we did not have a down payment to get in. And so we started to sit down. We said, we believe God's stirring this in our hearts to get into this house, but we don't know how we're going to do it. So we started to just look at in the natural, you know, do what we do. Jesus said, if you're going to go to war or if you're going to build a tower, you got to calculate first and figure it out. So we start looking at calculating, seeing what we can do. And as we looked, it was a hopeless situation. There's no way. We don't have a down payment. It would take us this many months to save up a down payment with what we could do at that time. Weren't making a lot of money at that time. We were just moving forward and that sort of a thing. And so here we are, and we don't have a down. It's going to take us a long time. The house will probably sell by the time we get this down payment. But we had the house that we were in, and we thought, well, we could sell this house and use it for a down payment on that house. But I had a conviction in my spirit. No, I can't do that. I can't sell this house. This house is going to help us in the future. This house is going to help us with our retirement. We're going to turn it into a rental property. And so I need to keep this house and then move into our next house, rent this house out, and then own that house. And so I had that in my spirit, and I couldn't shake it. You know, I just couldn't get released to sell it. And so we're wrestling back and forth. We're talking about options. What can we do? What can we sell? And we're just kind of empty. We had all these papers written down. I remember my wife was in bed, and she's sitting there with all this paperwork on her lap, and I'm standing next to the bed. I'm talking to her about it. And every time we wrote something down, it would just come up, no, we can't do this. We can't do that. We can't do this. We can't do that. And I remember in that moment, God did something. He dropped in my heart a gift. A spiritual gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of those gifts is the gift of faith. This is not just believing God. This is a supernatural endowment to believe God beyond what you could do in the natural. And in that moment, God dropped in my spirit this gift of faith, and I had this rush on the inside of me. It was like joy just overwhelmed me. And bubbling up out of my spirit came a smile on my face and some words that I spoke. I said, honey, you know what we're going to do? This is what we're going to do. We're going to buy the new house and we're going to keep this house. She said, yeah, how are we going to do it? I said, I don't know. I just believe God wants to do it. Let's go see the house again. So we called the realtor. We said, hey, we want to see the house again. They said, great, I'll take you. So they take us there. We look around the house. We love the house. We believe this is our house. And so I went to the realtor and I said, hey, here's what we want to do. We don't have a down payment. So we want to say no money down. We'll get, you know, 80-20 loan. We'll finance the down payment. That way we avoid mortgage insurance, that sort of a thing. And they got to carry our closing costs. And we can't have any contingencies. We don't have any money to do anything. Now, she went on to tell us her credentials. I've been in this business for decades. I've never put in a foolish offer like that because no one would ever be foolish enough to accept that kind of an offer. I said, put the offer in. She said, okay, I'll do it. But I've never seen it happen. I said, okay. We get a call the next day from that same realtor. And when I answered the phone, she said, hello, Mr. Roth. I said, yeah, hello. Good to hear from you. She said, in my 30 years as a realtor, I have never seen this in all my time selling homes. They accepted your offer. Now, fast forward, the rest of the story is that we raised our kids there, had that house for over 10 years. We ended up subletting that house to a couple that was in need, ended up selling the house. It was a blessing to them. It's a blessing to us. We were able to get the home that we're in now, able to fund some things. And then that rental property that we held on to, we were able to sell that, and we're able to get our kid in college and another one in private school. God was taking care of needs and was blessing us to get out of debt and all that kind of stuff. God used both of those homes to be a blessing in our life and in the lives of others. Why? Because your faith is bigger than you. You know, in that rental property, we had people who couldn't afford to keep a home, that couldn't afford rent. Some people that were going to have to go and move into their mom's house again and lay on their couch just to make ends meet. We were blessed to be a blessing. We were able to take care of the needs of others because your blessing, your faith, what you're believing God for is not just for you. It's to bring God glory. And when you start to believe God and wrap up in faith and God starts to move, guess what? God gets the glory. God gets the honor. God gets the praise. When your faith is being strengthened, guess what? You're giving glory to God. So church, don't put up a front. Proclaim your faith. Don't put up a front. What do I mean by that? There's so many people, you hear them, I'm a person of faith. I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. I believe God. You should see all the things I've done in my life. You should see what I can do. You should see my faith. Yeah, I can declare the word. I can declare the promise. I can believe. I can receive. You know, that centers on I. You got an eye issue. You need to get your eyes checked. Because if you're looking at yourself, you're going to come up short. But see, we don't put up a front. This is not just sounding good or looking good, puffing up our chest, putting our shoulders back and head up. I can do it. No. You can't do it. You're weak. You're powerless. It's not going to happen in your time, in your ability, in your resource, in your wisdom, or in your strength. It can only happen. Why? Because when I am weak, guess what? He is strong. It's by grace I am what I am. It's only by the power of God that anything's going to happen. And so don't put up a front. My goodness, start to proclaim your faith. You still there in Hebrews? Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter number 10 for the three of you that said yes. For the rest of y'all, come on, get in the game today. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 23. Look at what it says. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. When you get that picture on the inside, what do you see from God's word that you can have? It's the blueprint for your faith to go to work on. So let us hold fast the confession. Don't put up a front. Proclaim your faith. This is what I'm believing God for. This is what I see God wants in my life. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without what? Wavering. Without two opinions. No, I've got one opinion. God is God. I'm not. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. It's going to happen. God's watching his word. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is, come on, let me try that again. He who promised is faithful. God is faithful. If he said it, he's going to do it. Watch what you say, because God is going to perform his promise. He who promised, you got to be fully convinced, fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able to perform. Heard the story of Alexander the Great. had a general in his army that came to him and said that he was going to put on a wedding for his daughter, but he didn't have the money to put the wedding on. So Alexander the Great said, well, I'll give you the money. Go and talk to my treasurer. He'll take care of you. So the man goes to the treasurer, and the treasurer comes back to Alexander the Great a little while later, and he says, hey, did you tell him he could have money for his daughter's wedding? He says, yeah, I did. He said, did he tell you how much he wants? He said, no, he gave him this outlandish amount. He said, king, that would be for your daughter. That's not for his daughter. He's asking you for all this. I mean, this is a crazy celebration. This is too much. Don't do it. Now Alexander the Great thought about it for a second. He said, no, give it to him. What? Give it to him. Why? He says, because he's paid me two compliments. One, that he believes in my ability to pay it. And two, because he believes in my generosity to pay it. Go ahead and give it to him. See, when you start to believe God, the promises of God, you're paying God two compliments. One, that God has the ability to do what he said he would do. And two, that God is a good God who gives good gifts to his children. That God is willing to bless your life with the ability, with the grace, with the resource, with the power, with the strength, with the wisdom, with whatever you need in your life, with the healing, with the restoration, with the forgiveness, with the promises of God. See, when we're fully convinced that God who promised is able to perform, we bring glory to him. We show the ability of God, but not just the ability of God, the willingness that God has to do good. What's it going to take, church, between the amen and the hallelujah? Here's what we learned today. Don't focus on what you see. Focus on what God said. Don't waver in fear, but wrap up in faith. And don't put up a front. Start to open your mouth and proclaim your faith, because in doing so, you're going to bring God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Would you take a moment of prayer with me and bow your heads and close your eyes? And let's just take this time together. No one getting up, no one leaving. Church is not done yet. We got some more things we want to do with you before we let you go. We'll get you out today. Plenty of time. But right now, what is God speaking to you? Would you just listen for his voice? It doesn't take long for God to speak. He might have dropped a scripture, maybe a word, a promise in your heart. Just write that down. What is God speaking to you? If you're here with a faith-filled friend, maybe a spouse or someone that you trust, you're welcome to share that with them. Even online, you can post that in the comment section if it's appropriate. It's always encouraging, faith-building. Father, we thank you for your word, God. Today we proclaim that you're able, God, that you're also willing. We thank you, God, that today as we say amen to the promises of God, that there's going to come a day that there will be a hallelujah. But in the meantime, God, we're not going to waver between two opinions. You're God. You're good. It's going to happen, Lord. So I thank you, Father God, that the healing is coming. Thank you, God, that the restoration is on its way. God, I thank you that provision is being poured out right now. God, I thank you that miracles will happen. Blessings will overcome us. Goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our lives. And for that, God, we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Come on, listen up right now, because your eternal life's at stake and God is urging me to take this on right now. Okay? So let the ushers do their job, but don't let anything distract you right now. You need to listen up because your eternal life is at stake. What if today was your last day? What if you got in your car and your heart stopped? You died. Would you end up in heaven or would you end up in hell? Sometimes people get the wrong idea about going to heaven. They think, well, I'm going to go to heaven because I've been good. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you can be good enough to get to heaven. You can't be good enough. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You're not going to make it to heaven by being good. Sometimes people think they're going to go to heaven because all roads lead to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible say all roads lead to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. That's God's way. Sometimes people say, okay, Pastor, I know God's way is by going to church. I was raised in church. My parents told me you're Christians growing up. In fact, here I am sitting in front of you in church right now. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible says sit in church service, call yourself a Christian, that makes you a Christian? You're not going to make it to heaven that way. It's shocking, isn't it? We think just go to church, you'll go to heaven. I'd pay people to go to church if that's all it took. There's going to be a lot of people that sit in church and call themselves Christians that don't make it. A lot of people that watch online. And that's why I'm so angry that people would come and sit and get a message but not stay for this last part. Because you need this. Because if you think it's just about coming to sit in a church and you paid your penance with God, got your brownie points, you're going to go on. You will die and end up in hell. And I love you too much for that. Pastor, that doesn't sound like love. It sounds like you're angry. I'm angry at the devil. He's trying to deceive you right now. Not mad at you. I'm mad at the situation that you're in. You need to turn from your way and go God's way. Just sitting in a church service isn't going to get you into heaven. It's like me sitting at McDonald's thinking that makes me a hamburger. It won't. You can't just sit in church, call yourself a Christian, that makes you Christian. Sometimes people think, well, Pastor, but I got involved in my last church. I helped out. I didn't just sit. And got a membership card and taught the Bible classes. That's great. Nowhere in the Bible says get involved in church, that'll get into heaven. In fact, there was two groups of people that Jesus was talking to. One group got to go to heaven. Another group, they were in church. They got involved. And he said to that group, away from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. See, there was something wrong on the inside. See, externally, they looked good. They were church people. They sat, they got involved, they helped out, they did miracles. How many of us have done that? And yet something on the inside was off, and they didn't make it. Listen up, we're talking about your eternal life, and I'm loving you right now. Even though it may not look like love, this is the most loving thing I could do. If I saw a car coming at you and I said, I love you, and you got hit by the car, you'd say, that's not love. But if I saw a car coming at you and I yelled at you, hey, get out of the way, there's a car. You'd say, oh, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for not being nice about that. I needed to be yelled at because I wouldn't have known. Thank you. Same way when I see your life headed for hell and I just say, hey, I love you, you'd be like, that's not love if I go to hell. But when I say, hey, watch out, your life's at stake, thank you. Thank you for being a good pastor. Sometimes you think, well, Pastor, I know God. Don't worry about me. Know about Easter and the resurrection. I'm ready for it next week. Sing the songs at Christmas every year of my life. I've got scriptures memorized, Old and New Testament. I know God. You know who else knows God? The devil. He can quote scriptures. But he's headed for the lake of fire, along with those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The demons believe and they tremble. Why? Because they know they're not going to make it. Everybody look up at me for a second. Even online, look at your screen. It's not about what you have up here in your head. It's not about having mental assent towards God, knowing who Jesus is, and that gets you right with God. Rather, it's about your heart. Jesus said, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Now, I know the society's raked that through the coals. They made a mockery out of it. Let's not let society, Hollywood, movies, television, books, and blogs on the internet define for us what being born again is. Let's let the Bible do that for us. Being born again from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible has always meant the same thing. You ready for it? Here it comes. We're talking about your eternal life. This is how you're going to get to heaven. No other way but God's way. One way to heaven. You must be born again. What does that mean? It simply means this, that you've surrendered all of your heart and you've surrendered all of your life to God. Not being good, not attending church, not getting involved, not giving money. Only one way to heaven. It's a simple surrender. Because when you lay down your life before God, God comes in and he makes you brand new on the inside. It's not an external thing, it's an internal thing. You must be born again, not physically, but spiritually. Because the real you is the you on the inside of you that if you died, you would be separated from your body and you'd live on into eternity. And that's the part of you that needs to be born again, because right now in sin, you're separated from God. You are dead and you need to be born again, made brand new and come alive. And only God can do that when you surrender your life to God. Pastor, let me clean up my act and then I'll come to God. No, no, no. You come to God, I'll clean you up from the inside out. Pastor, I prayed that prayer. It's not just magical abracadabra words. No, no, no. It's all of your heart and all of your life. You don't just say a prayer and then live like the devil and expect to go to heaven. It's every day following God. Even if you mess up, you get up, you dust off, and you keep following God. You never give up on God because God will never give up on you. And you keep going because Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Pastor, I've got more time. Leave me alone. I feel like you're pressuring me. I am pressuring you. Here's the reason why. Because the devil's pressuring you. That's why a bunch of people like sheep just walked out of this place thinking, the old church is done. I guess they're doing the announcements. I'm going to get out of there before they pass the bucket to me. And yet, they don't even realize that they're deceived and that they'll die and go to hell unless they repent, unless they be born again. God's got your attention right now, even out there in the foyer, even out there in the breezeways. God's talking to you right now. You need to give him all of your heart. You need to give him all of your life. You don't have tomorrow guaranteed. You've got today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one bomb, one breath away from eternity. I showed you Cameron's car. Rolled on the freeway. It could have been his last moment, his last breath. And yet, God is faithful. But we're not guaranteed another moment. Jesus could come back at any time. No man knows the day or the hour, but we do know the times and the seasons, and guess what? It's near. He's coming, and you need to be ready. The Bible tells us that those that believe with their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is the Lord will be saved. It's a simple prayer. It's a simple confession. I want to lead you in that prayer, but I want to know who I'm going to be praying with. And so I'm going to count to three in a moment. One, two, three, and when I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing by raising your hand is you're saying, I want to be included in that prayer. I want to give God all my heart and all my life. I want to be born again, head for heaven, and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up if you're here in the sanctuary. You can put it right back down. If you're out there in the foyer, if you're in the breezeways, or even in the bathrooms, you can raise your hand right where you're at. That's okay. And then put it right back down online. Wherever you're at, all over the world right now, you can just raise your hand up and then put it right back down. Pastor, I'll be embarrassed if I raise my hand. Yeah, you might be. I'll feel foolish. Uh-huh, maybe. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed or feel foolish for a moment than it is to end up in hell forever and ever and ever and ever? No one make that trade. Yet the devil thinks you're a fool, so he's trying to talk you out of this right now. Tell that devil to go jump in a fiery lake. You're not going with him. You're going on with God today. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'm a man. I'll see your hand go up if you're here live. He says, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Your call, your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. You made a choice. How about this? Get right with God today. You can do that in a safe and friendly church service. Listen, we've all done this at one point or another. We're all ex-somethings in this place. You're in good company. God's not wringing his hands over your sin, and neither are we. My goodness, we've seen and heard a lot over the years here at this church. You're in good company. Today, there's no criticism, judgment, or condemnation. There's just the love and acceptance of God and a big family of faith that's excited for you and praying for you right now. You need to surrender all of your heart. You need to surrender all of your life to Jesus Christ. Right now, today, this moment is your day of salvation. Maybe you backslid and you need to come home like the prodigal. Today, you can come home. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to clean up yourself. You can't do it in your own power. Come to God right now. Repent, turn, come back to God. Maybe you're on fire at one time and you've gotten into lethargy, apathy. Maybe you're lukewarm. Jesus said, when I come, I'm going to find you hot or cold. Because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit from my mouth. Maybe today you need to light yourself on fire again. And it all starts by just turning from your way and turning to God. You can get right with God today. I'm going to count to three, pop my hand on this microphone. Who should raise your hand? Are you running from God instead of God? I'm speaking to you. If you're not sure today, make sure about your salvation. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you've been in church all your life, and you never crossed that line, giving God all of your heart and life, and speaking to you, finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe you're lukewarm, maybe you're half-hearted, maybe you're backslidden. You need to come home. Come on, today, you can do that in this safe and friendly place. This is your time. I'm going to count to three, pop my hand, wherever you're at. Listen, here live, online, foyer, bathrooms. Come on, get ready to get your hands up. You know who you are on the count of three. One, two. Three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high. Come on, keep them up high. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Thank you. 10 right there. Thank you. God bless you. 11 over there. 12 right there. Thank you. In the family rooms, anybody? 12 right there. Okay. Thank you. God bless you. 12 wise people. 13 right here. Yes. God bless you. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 up top. Thank you. God bless you guys. 20, 21, 22 in the back. 23, 24 up on top there. 25 right there. Yes. Thank you. 25. Where else? 26 down front. Got you right there. If I saw your hand, you can put it down, but if I didn't see your hand, get that hand up real high. Maybe give me a little wave. Sometimes motion helps this old man. I'm not really that old, all right, but you can see the glasses and the lights in my eyes. Anybody else? There's about 25, 26. Thank you for the wave. Appreciate that. God bless you. Anybody else? 26. 26 wise people. Who else today? 27. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Got you. God bless you. 27 wise people. Come on, if you feel God tugging at your heart right now, don't resist. That's the Holy Spirit just saying, come on. Will you give him all of your heart? Will you give him all of your life? Anybody else? Even in the foyers, anybody else? Just want to give you one more moment. Come on, don't resist the Holy Spirit if he's tugging at your heart. Maybe you broke out in a sweat. Wish I'd shut up. 27. 28. 29. The Spirit of the Lord's just moving on people's hearts right now. Anybody else? Feel that. Feel that. Maybe it's just maybe it's not a tug. Maybe it's just a gentle whisper. God's a gentleman. Did you know that? He's not going to make you do this. It's not like, oh, I don't feel my hand going up. He's not going to force you to do this. You have to do this. You have to make a choice. Today, choose life. Last call. It's 29 wise people. Come on, number 30. You're sitting there wondering if you should do this. Yeah, you should. Come on, let's go for God today. Anybody else? Last call. We're going to wrap this up. Number 30, where you at? Number 30, God bless you. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise today. Number 31 over here. Amen. Got you. Hey, excellent, excellent. Not too late, not too late. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray with you right here at the altar. Remember we said if you believe with your heart and confess through your mouth that Jesus is Lord, I want to lead you in that confession right here at the altar. We're all going to stand. We're not going to leave. We're going to respect the move of the Holy Spirit. We're going to allow you to come forward. Bring your family. Bring your friends. Get your stuff. Don't leave it in your seat. Get out of your seat. Get in the aisle and meet us up front right now. Come on down. If you raise your hand, if your children raise your hand, if you should have raised your hand, come on down right now. Come on, church. Let's welcome them. They're coming right now. Come on down. Come on down. From the foyer, come back in. From the bathrooms, finish it up. Wash your hands and come on in. From the parking lot, come on. From the family rooms. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Come on, even if you didn't raise your hand, get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet me up front right now. Come on down. Come on down. This is the precursor to Easter. We're just getting started. Come on. You need to come. Come right now. Come right now. Whole families are coming. Hallelujah. Come on.
The Father's arms are
look at this church. Come on, let's celebrate.
Wide. Forgiveness was
bought. They're still coming.
With the precious blood.
They're still coming. Come on. It's not too late. You can come too.
Oh, come to the
hallelujah.
Altar.
Come on. Come on. If you feel like, man, should I go? Come on. Just come. Take the first step. They're coming.
Was bought with the
they're coming.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to.
Church, I want you to do something. Get your elbow just like this. Okay? You got it? Now don't do this hard. Don't hurt anybody. Because I know how strong you are. But I want you to just give your neighbor a nudge and say, come on, friend, if you need to go, I'll go with you. All right? Come on. Get your full-time minister elbow right here. Come on, friend. Come on, friend. Do you need to go? I'll go with you. And then bring him. Is there anybody else? Come on. Come on, if you need to come. Come on, just bring him right now. Come on. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else? Bring him. Bring him. Come on. Come on right now. Come on down. Come on down. Anybody else? Come on, we'll wait for you. We're waiting for you. Come on, God's waiting for you. Come on right now. Come on down. Come on, friend. You need to come. Come on. Come on, anybody else? Come on down. Are you coming? Come on, don't wait another moment. Just come. Anybody else?
And bow down before.
She's coming. Come on. We'll wait for you.
For he is Lord.
Come on.
Of all.
Come on. They're coming.
Sing hallelujah.
Come on. Anybody else? We're waiting for you.
Christ
God thinks you're
risen.
Worth waiting for. I always hesitate because I know there's somebody on the fence. Feels like the razor's edge, doesn't it? They're coming. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Come on. Look at this. Look at this. Spirit of God's moving in this place right now. Come on. Praise God for you, man. Praise God for you. Are you coming? They're coming. Come on, from the foyer. They're coming. They're coming. Look at this. Look at this. Look, this is a move of the Spirit of God right now. Come on. Come on. Can say is praise God. Look at, I didn't do any of this. God gets the glory. Amen. As I'm giving instructions, if you still need to come, you can still come. But be honest, okay, up front. Would you just answer a question for me? How many of you went to the foyer you were gonna leave? Anybody? Look at that. Aren't you glad? It's okay. Hey. I'm proud of you guys that you stopped and listened. I praise God for you guys because God's going to do great things in your life. When you do things God's way, God turns your life completely around and he blesses you. Get ready for a blessing. It's coming your direction. Amen. Aren't you grateful that we stopped the announcements? God did that for you. That's how much God loves you. Don't ever think God doesn't love you. When the devil comes and tells you, you messed up, you're so bad, you're past this and that, God doesn't love you. No, no, no. God loves you so much. He stopped everything for you. Wow. Everything. That's how much God loves you. We're going to pray and invite Jesus in your heart to be born again, brand new. Get a brand new start with a brand new heart. The slate is wiped clean. All that bad stuff you did in your past, guess what? Brand new today. And there's no commitment worth anything without consistency. And so I want to encourage you, this is just the first step. You know, you go to the gym one time, it doesn't do you much good. In fact, it'll hurt you, won't it? I don't want to go back to the gym. That hurt. But if you keep going and you endure and you keep pressing through week after week, month after month, year after year, what happens? You get strong. You get fit. Right? Same thing with God. You go to church one time. I mean, glad you came. Glad you're here. Best decision of your life. But listen, this is just day one. This is the first step. You keep going with God. In fact, give us this next year. Over this next year, keep praying. Keep reading your word. Keep coming to church. Okay? Keep learning the principles of God and applying them to your life as you do this next year. Next Palm Sunday, you're going to look at your life and say, wow, look at what God has done in my life. With those thoughts in mind, let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes, even online. Come on, if you're giving your heart to the Lord right now. Everybody's going to join in together, but especially those of you giving your hearts to the Lord. Say these words out loud together in faith. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. I give you all of my heart and all of my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past. And give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days. Because from now on, I am saved. I'm a Christian. I'm born again, headed for heaven. Denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you. Now, listen. I didn't grow in the things of God until I had a friend. I was raised in church, but I needed a friend when I got saved. I got saved at age 15. And I needed someone to encourage me, needed someone to pray with me, show me some things out of the Bible and teach me some things. So this is my friend, Pastor Joel, over here. Really good guy. Nothing weird is going to go on. Sometimes you want to go, like, I went to church. Are they weird? Listen, I'm about as weird as you'll encounter today, okay? He's cool. He's going to do three things. He's going to give you some free stuff, free literature, find out what just happened, what to do next in your walk with God, okay? Secondly, he's going to introduce you to a friend and encourage you to get back to church. Thirdly, after a couple minutes of your time, he'll let you go, okay? Your friends and family that are seated out here, they'll wait for you. And if your children are in the children's ministry, they're safe, okay, until you can go and pick them up afterwards. But would you just, for a couple minutes, make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel right this way? Come on, let's give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a great big praise today. God is so good. Online, if you're joining us and you just gave your heart to the Lord, if you're in the area, come and join us in person. We'll get you those same connections. We love you so much. We're so grateful for you online. If you're not in the area and you just gave your heart to the Lord, find a local church and find a faithful friend that can encourage you in your walk with God as well. Hey, Rock family, tonight, 6 p.m., we got different music, different message, but my goodness, another opportunity to grow in the things of God. And right now, in the fountain of the courtyard, water baptism is happening, so make sure to head on out there. If you haven't been to a water baptism, you can hang out and just be a part of encouraging those that are giving their next step of faith in the Lord. Man, go out there and cheer them on as they come out of the water. And if you haven't been water baptized, go get baptized. You say, Pastor, man, my Sunday best. Yeah, your Sunday best can get baptized too. It's okay. All right, we got towels for you. It'll dry. It's a beautiful day. My goodness, you big baby. We warm up the fountain for you and everything, all right? Getting in is not the hard part. It's getting out. Okay, so come and join us at the fountain. We're going to have a great time, but we'll see you guys back tonight, 6 p.m., for another wonderful word of God. And my goodness, notice, God's giving you a vision. That's not even, I mean, I tell you, it's going to be all up these aisles next week. All up these aisles, every church service, every church service, every church service in Jesus' name. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Let me bless you as you go. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming, blessed going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.